cool. All right. Well, Pastor Michelle and I were just talking and figuring out, well, what are we going to tell them? What's the story really like? I mean, what do we want to share? What don't we want to share? You know, I guess we just kind of figured there's a couple of things that God really used in our hearts and just really caused us to realize throughout the whole story of our life. I guess of our love story. I mean, we're still in the middle of it. You know, we ain't done yet. So shoot. We're right in the middle of our love story. And so I don't know. I guess, hon, do you want to kind of break it open and kind of just?
Yeah.
Just,
well, just... first we'll tell you where we are now. So Pastor Richard and I, Pastor Richard, Rich, well, I call him Rich.
Or Hottie.
Yeah, all that. So we are the youth pastors, and we have two kids. We have a daughter named Isabella Grace, and she's 2.5, and she's beautiful. And then we have a son named Carter Steven.
Carter Steven.
And he is just a hunk.
He's a chunk.
Yeah, chunk a hunk. And
he weighs more than me.
Probably.
And he's taller.
And they're blonde, and Carter has blue eyes,
and
they
both
are
ours.
Richards.
They are ours. That's yeah, I know, they are ours. It looks like Grandpa. Because people ask us all the time, okay? And it's kind of horrible, since you're the pastors, people say, are those your kids? It's like, number one, I didn't steal him. And number two, yes, he's mine, okay? And but my grandfather had blue eyes, and her grandfather had blue eyes. So that's the excuse. That's how we got a white baby.
Yeah, we got a white baby. It happens. Yeah. Just when he gets older and the last name Villanueva, I don't know. But so we've known each other since we were youth because we grew up in church. Actually, we've grown up with Luke and Stacy and Joey. And it's just really, you know, it's just cool how to see where we're at now. But yeah. What's amazing is this young adults ministry that's packed. Because when we were young adults, you know, they went to Bible college in Oklahoma, and it was like Richard and I were the young adults ministry.
We were the young adults
okay?
ministry.
So it was like we were 18, and everybody else was like 30. And I was like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah, it was us like 5 35-year-old people. And I wasn't about to date any of them. So.
But we met each other in the youth ministry, and at the time, he was in a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
Long.
It was long. Well, I was, you know, I had been dating a girl for about 2-3 years, and, you know, in high school, that's a long
forever.
Time. And then she was in
a
short-term relationship, but lots of short-term relationships.
Yeah, lots of short-term relationships.
So we were kind of flip-flop as far as that goes. And, you know, we had known each other. I actually was better friends with her sister than I was with her. Yeah. And my girlfriend at the time was, let's just say she didn't like her. Okay.
Well, her name, this
drama.
Is juicy. Her name was Michelle, too.
Hun, don't say too much. Don't say too much.
I didn't say her last name. Okay. And she didn't like me. We were in the drama team together, and she didn't ever want me to get the lead parts. And so she didn't like me because she thought I was trying to steal him. And I did. But
that's why they call it the drama team. And, you know, and I don't know. It was a trip. And actually, your boyfriend at the time didn't like me either. Because
no.
He thought the same thing.
Yeah, his name was Bud.
For a reason. I'm just saying.
That's
just
another
saying.
Testimony.
We're going to be real here. We're going to be real. We had been really good friends. We had known each other since we were like 15, 16, up through youth ministry. We had graduated the youth ministry, and then we were both presented, because we had been involved in leadership positions and drama and different things. We had put on together this huge outreach concert in senior year of high school and stuff like that, and we had been doing ministry and working together and stuff like that. And when we had graduated out of high school, we were both presented with an opportunity here at the church to become interns, join an internship program, and we did it. And one of the main stipulations of this internship program was there was no dating.
Yeah, so to an 18-year-old, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal for us.
We were pretty good looking. Didn't you guys see the picture?
I mean, really, come on now. And we had joined on this thing for 2 years. So we had signed 2 years of our life away to no dating, no relationship, no kissing, no making out, no, you know, none of that good stuff. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit, I guess. But amen. It was from that period of time that we had developed relationships and our relationship together as friends. I mean, we had been building a 4-6-year friendship on you know, just as a friend, as friends in ministry and stuff like that. It was really cool.
And
cool.
Like doing ministry together. And it was funny because Richard and I, we were really into God. And I think that's what really attracted us to each other. And I remember even, and people who've grown up, you know, in this church even remember when there was a guy named Dick Mills who came and he gave a prophetic word over Richard. And it, you know, and I was like, ooh, that's cute, you know, and, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, we just were attracted to each other that way.
Prophecy is cute.
Yeah.
Go figure.
So hot right now.
Yay, Holy Spirit. You know.
And it's just funny because we, in this internship where we're not allowed to date, I can't even tell you how many people thought we were already married. We had never talked about dating.
Seriously.
Thought we were already married. One time we have the, we had this thing called birthday lunch with the staff. And so there, our staff was so small then that we fit in this little room. It was, you know, the parchment room is what it was called. And there was like maybe a few tables that were all facing each other. And so, you know, we were kind of towards the, you know, end of our internship. And Pastor Jim, you know, I think it was my birthday or something like that. Pastor Jim gets up and he says something like, Richard, Michelle, you know, because that's how he said it. He said, Richard, Michelle, why aren't you guys dating? And then this is in front of everybody, which we have never even talked about before.
Never,
you know, we kind of like liked each other and we talked to our friends.
I said,
he was hot.
I thought she was pretty hot.
And so,
but these were secret feelings and emotions we had stowed away in the depths of our hearts.
Because it was forbidden.
It was forbidden love, and we dared not pick that fruit at this time.
Yeah. So then Pastor Eddie, who was our youth pastor at the time, he said, you know, well, there's a rule, you know, no dating. And Pastor Jim says, that's a stupid rule. And, and so...
sounds like Pastor Jim, huh?
Yeah. So anyway, so that was... These are all the things that are going through our minds. And my face is so red. I didn't even
Pastors
look
Dan
at it.
And just get married and our fingers intertwine. And it just...
Yeah.
The passions were stoked.
They sure, yeah.
But anyway, so what happened is, so 9/11 happens, right? You know.
Downer of the story, sorry.
You know what? I'm just saying. So 9/11 happens, and I get this phone call from this amazingly beautiful girl, Michelle, and she says, hey, we need to talk real quick. I'm thinking, oh no, is the world ending? Does she know the rapture is, like, you know, what is, I mean, wait, I, you know, Left Behind hadn't even come out yet, and I was already, and she comes over, and we were both in Bible college together, and one of our assignments was in our church planning class was to make certain plans for future, like, as if we were to plan a church in the next so many years and stuff like that, and we were both making these assignments on our own at home and stuff like that, and she had come over, and we began to talk about this, and we both kind of at the same time said, well, you know, we're making these plans, and I want to know if you would be involved with these plans that I'm making for my future, which was an undercover way of saying, dang, girl, you looking good. And your walk with Jesus is pretty tight, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of was, on 9/11, that was when we had established that we officially liked each other. Now, granted, we were still interns. And then, thankfully, it was at the very end, and the internship ended, and we had a graduation ceremony. We went out, you know, with all the friends to coffee, and it wasn't more than an hour after we had graduated.
We went home and we fasted and we prayed for like.
That's a lie.
No, that's
we
not.
We went after the service.
It
we
was
went
like,
to coffee.
Inland Empire shall be saved. You want to date me? No.
That is exactly how it went. And from that second we graduated, that rule was broken, and we were set free in the name of Jesus. And then, it was 2 weeks later.
Yeah, like 12 days.
12 days, okay, 12 days later. I'm trying to make myself look respectable. 12 days later, at a youth service, I got down on one knee and said, Michelle, will you marry me?
And I said, yeah. He was so cute, though. He made this video, and it was awesome.
It was poorly made, but it was cute. And I snuck in her parents to the back. There, everybody was like, we had like 10 people hiding behind one foosball table, and we had to keep the lights down for that one. And then I asked her to marry me. She said yes. Gave her this big fatty ring, kind of. I mean, it was big at the time. And
we were interns. We were interns.
Yeah, I got paid with peanuts. So, and 6 months later, because you know. you're going to get married. Why are you going to wait? 6 months later.
That's our motto. You don't have to go by that.
You don't get married.
If you know that you know.
I know. You get one
12 day. 12 days, 6 months. Let's go. All right.
Am I right? Just do this thing. You know, and it's like, you know, one day for a wedding and you have another 60 to 80 years for the marriage. So let's get this one day over with so I can get the 60 years on with it. You know what I'm saying? And it's true. I mean, come on. And so 6 months later, we had gotten married. We went to New York for a honeymoon. It was tight. And it was good. And
move on. Jeez.
That's all I'm saying. And 8 years later, we got two kids.
Yeah,
and
so you're doing pretty good.
She's still tight. you are. You're, honey.
I know,
you're wonderful,
baby.
You're wonderful. So, yeah. trying to get points here, and that in a nutshell is our story.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that story, we just wanted to share with you guys, and we're going to share a few more things, but just some stuff that helped us with our walk with God. You know, at dating, being married, all that kind of stuff. How about just being, you know, young and trying to stay saved and trying to date somebody. I mean, I just found out this statistic and I've been telling the teenagers because I believe it'll set some people free. But did you know that when you hit puberty, and maybe this service just turned completely uncool to you,
I'm sorry. This is a youth pastor in us. But, I apologize. We're still youth pastors.
Your hormones actually go up like 600%.
I know.
I didn't say 6. I didn't say 60. I said 600%. Okay? And so that's why when we didn't date for 2 years in internship and, you know, we didn't sleep together before we got married and stuff like that, it's a big deal because, let's just be honest, that's not the easiest thing to do in the world. All right? All of you guys are staring at me like, Pastor Michelle, I never had a feeling like that in my life. I don't know what you're talking about. All right? That's okay. It's all right. You keep on looking like that. But we're going to give you some just a few points that are going to help you guys because it helped us. And I believe it'll benefit you.
It's good. It's good. I know, and our goal here is to speak both to single and married. Because I know, how many married people do we have in the house real quick? I mean, anybody married?
Wow.
Okay, anybody? Wow, dang, bring it. Okay. And anybody, is anybody engaged in this place? Engaged? I saw Anna and Kenton there, so I had to ask a question because you guys are cute. And, is anybody currently in a relationship right now?
Dating.
We will pray for you in the. It's good. It's good.
We will make the single people raise their hands.
Single, that's all right. We love you guys because you guys.
You guys are awesome.
Because I don't know. Because I know this is a very very mixed crowd as far as different stages of life where you guys are at. I mean, that's just what young adults ministry is. It's everybody's in this different stage of life. And I want to encourage you guys not to despise the place you're in. You know, whether you're single, whether you're married, maybe you're trying to have children, you have children. You know, it's very easy to allow ourselves to let the grass look better on the grass looks greener on the other side. And maybe sometimes single people can say, man, you know, I just wish I was married. I wish I had this. You know, and even times, you know, maybe if you're married and you have children, you think, man, if I didn't have these kids, and it's true. And it's not, let's just be real. You know, the thought can pop into your mind as a married person saying, man, if we had waited longer to have children or this or that, or you can even say, you know, if you've ever been in a bad relationship or a bad marriage before, you say, man, if only I had married somebody differently. Now, I know nobody responded to that at all. Because I'm just saying, I talked to a lot of people and we can put ourselves and fear ourselves to be in a bad place. But the truth is you need to milk as much life as you can out of your life. If you are single, that doesn't mean you're broken. If you're single, you are not a broken person and you are not an incomplete person. You are a person who has all the freedom to do whatever you want for Jesus in the world. You have no other responsibilities. So you're in a very strong position. You know, so never look at yourself as a single person in that way. You know, if you feel like you're in a relationship and you have certain problems or difficulties, you know this, no season you're in right now is a permanent season. You know, there's always hope and an expectation that God can bring healing, hope, and life to it. Whether it's a bad relationship, a broken relationship, whatever the case may be, you know, God can bring healing into it. It's just whatever stage in life you are, children, no children, single, otherwise, you know, milk the most you can out of life because God never wastes a season in your life unless we do that. We waste seasons in our life. And don't end up looking at yourself saying, man, I wish I would have done more when I was single. Don't look at your life and say, man, I wish I would have done more before we had kids. And don't look at yourself and say, man, when my kids are graduating, I wish I would have done more when my kids were young. Get the most you can out of that because each season is a God-ordained season. for something specific to happen in your life. So I just want to say that before we move on.
No, I think that's good.
It's powerful. It's powerful.
Well, it kind of, our you know, if we had a title tonight, it would be Super Attractive Traits. Because I think there are things that totally attracted us to each other. And I think it applies across the boards for Christians, Christian relationships. And what Richard's talking about right now is perfect, because point number one is that vision is hot and sweat is sexy. That's point number one. Now, some of you are saying, is this church? Where am I? Okay, no, let me explain this to you, because what Richard's saying is we need to take the season that we're in and have a vision for it. And vision is freaking hot. Okay, somebody who's going somewhere is attractive. Someone who's doing something, someone who has a plan. You know, ladies, I know that you can attest for this, that the scariest thing for a woman, whether she's married or looking to marry somebody, is a guy who has no vision. A guy who you think, is he going to have a career? Is he going to do something? Is he going to take care of us when we get older? Is he going to leave me, you know, eventually, because his eyes drift to this or that? I mean, that's one of the scariest things. But, you know, just like we've read this verse a million times in Proverbs 29:18, but where there is no vision, the people perish. And where there is no vision, you ain't hot no more, okay? Because that's what attracted me so much to Richard, is that he was going for God. I mean, he had a vision. When we had that conversation on 9/11, you know, one of the worst days in the world, but one of the most amazing days for us, is, you know, we were just talking about ministry and stuff, and he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, I just want to do something great. You know, maybe I'll go to Africa and be a missionary. And my heart sank, because I said, I don't want to go to Africa. But I'm in love with you.
I have pictures of elephants.
And at least you want to go somewhere for Jesus. Okay, but vision is hot. And you know, I'm going to talk about, again, sorry, I know I talk so much.
That's all right. I like to listen to her
But
talk,
I have to explain what I mean by sweat is sexy. Is that working hard, somebody who works hard is super sexy.
It's true.
And in Genesis, my verse to back that up is, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. You know, remember in Genesis, God was talking to the man, and he said, by the sweat of your brow. And a man who works hard, and I think even for a guy, and you can share on this if it's true, but I think a guy who sees a girl who does something, who has a goal, who has a vision, who's going to school, who's doing something, is very attractive, very sexy.
Well, I remember... back when we were in an internship, we must have been about 19. We had gone to Riverside to this vintage store with this guy we used to call Crazy Gabe. Different story. Anyway,
just remembered him, Crazy Gabe.
Crazy Gabe, leather pants, dude. And we had gone to this vintage store, and I remember we were going in there looking at some fly clothes and stuff like that, looking to make some purchases for like $2 and stuff, and because that's our budget.
We were interns.
And that was an expensive shirt. And then I remember she had left the store crying. And I don't know if you remember this, but I remember this because I was like, dang, it was tight. Afterwards, yeah, when I understood what was going on, she left the store crying. I was like, are you okay? Are you okay? You know, is everything okay? And she just said, you know, she said, Richard, I just don't understand. I love Jesus so much. And I'm in there. And there was some other people in there. And they, you know, you just kind of just tell that they didn't go to church, you know. And she's like, you know, Rich, I just don't understand. I love God so much on the inside of me, and I just want to be able to have people who don't know God sense and feel Jesus' presence when I walk into the room. She told me, I just want to live a life so strong for God that other people can't help but see Jesus inside of me. And she was crying over these people's hearts that she'd never seen before. And I thought, wow. I said, wow, am I even saved? I was looking at the plaid shirts.
That's so, you know, funny.
and I thought, wow, that is amazing. And you know, and it went from just saying, man, this girl's cute, to man, this girl. I said I could see this woman alongside me the rest of my life, pushing me forward towards a plan that God has for my life. And she had a vision and a passion, you know, to do these things. I mean, I would watch her preach. I would watch her, you know, I would listen to her pray, and I would see that she was going somewhere in her life with God. And that's something I wanted. You know, she had qualities and traits that I wanted to see in myself. And she, and you know, and now that we've been married for 8 years, she is the black to my white. She is the cream to my Oreo. She is, you know what I'm saying? She is complimentary. She is everything that I don't have, she has. And she eggs me on to be a better me. And that is the vision of the sweat. I mean, I don't know. She works harder than I do. And it just, I love it because I'm a success because my wife causes me to be a success. You know what I'm saying? My wife causes, without my wife, I just told her today, I was in a meeting with her here at the church. And I thought, man, hon, I'm just so glad you were in this meeting because I would have missed so many things. You know, her work ethic draws me closer to her. And that's why I like to kiss her.
So. Okay. But I think vision is super attractive. And those of you guys maybe right now where you're saying, well, Pastor Michelle, I don't have a job and I don't have, you know, money to go to school and I don't have this. Well, get a vision to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm not here to tell you that that's an okay excuse. And I'm sorry if that really offends you. But everybody can have a vision for something. You don't have to go to a four-year college. Pastor Richard and I didn't, you know, and you may judge me and think whatever, but, you know, we're successful. We're executives at one of the largest churches, 25th largest church in the world. Okay, I mean, you got to think about that stuff, that because we have a vision, we were able to move with that. And even if you're in a marriage right now, have vision for something. Have vision for planting some flowers. Have vision just for something to look forward to,
yeah.
Because it is attractive. And
it
hard
is.
Work is sexy. See, we live in a generation where it's super easy to be lazy and it's super easy to get away with it. Like, we can get away with no job and no school and nothing and not wanting to put the paperwork in, you know, to get, you know, some money to go to school and stuff like that. But we need to realize that God made us to work hard. God made us so that it would be attractive.
Yeah.
And without vision, you're going to perish. You know, we're going to get a little bit into our past for a second because I think it's going to help some people. But, you know, Richard was the only guy that I have ever slept with.
Oh.
And I know some of you were like, that's a miracle, right? Okay. But there are
yeah.
people out there. Okay. And it wasn't because I was butt ugly in high school. All right. Some people are like, I'm a virgin. You're like, that doesn't look hard. Okay. But anyway, sorry. I'm sorry. Cut that out of the podcast.
Okay, you're harsh, man. Low blow.
But it's because I had a vision that when I was dating somebody and maybe things were starting to go someplace they shouldn't be. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I do not want to get pregnant by you because I was a good church girl and good church girls aren't on birth control because you don't think about that stuff. Okay. And then all of a sudden this happens and you're like, oh, okay. But because of a vision that I had that, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. But just because, you know, I was like that doesn't mean he was like that.
Yeah. To be honest, that wasn't the case with me. You know, I wasn't, you know, I was the first and only person in my family to be saved. I grew up in a, you know, we were two for church attenders, went twice a year, Christmas and Easter. And that was it, you know what I'm saying? And that wasn't the case with us, you know, with me in a sense, because I had made different choices in my relationships. And, you know, and I brought that into our relationship. But you see, instead of it becoming a wedge and something that what separated us in a sense, because we had a vision for our marriage, because we were committed to each other and committed to the call that Jesus Christ had put in our life, because we were willing to work hard to overcome, you know, any type of insecurity that did and could come and stay in our relationship. We worked hard at getting through this, talking through this, and making sure that, you know, we were two whole people coming into a relationship. And because we had a vision that said, you know what, look, I don't care if people in my family have been through four marriages and none of them worked. I don't care the fact that I can count, you know, this uncle and this person has been through had been on drugs in prison for this many years, has this many children from this many mothers. You know, I had the vision in my life to say, look, I'm not getting a divorce. To say my children, you know, my children will grow up in one family. And I had the vision to break the curses and break the patterns of my family, you know, irregardless of the problems and the issues that I had in the past. And, you know, we had the vision to say, look, this marriage is going to work and this is going to happen because, you know, God's called us to be together to do something amazing and special in our lives. And we just overcame it, you know, irregardless of the baggage that we both brought into the relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just kind of how it went, you know.
And, you know, at the beginning of our marriage, to be honest, it was kind of an issue.
It was an issue. It was definitely an issue.
What happens is when you you know, God has designed you to have sex with one person your entire life.
That's it.
Okay? And as somebody, you know, I know media and pop culture, and sometimes we can be such followers of pop culture
that
just seems like it's so boring and all this. I don't know. It's not boring. Okay? It's very opposite of that. But you know, sometimes we think that, well, when we get saved, there's just this magic wand, and, you know, the past is still the past. And insecurities are still insecurities, and you're still going to have to deal with those issues. And at that time, in the very beginning of our marriage, it seemed like a huge issue. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It wasn't. I mean, we got over it. And if you're scared because maybe some of you have, you know, maybe you've made a lot of mistakes, okay? Maybe you've just gotten in a fight over it with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your husband or wife or whatever. I just want you to let you know, yes, you're going to have to talk about the issue, but it's not going to be an issue for the rest of your marriage. Believe me, it is minimal, even though it may seem like a big issue.
Yeah, so just work through it. Work through it. And you know what? The past will become the past, and you'll have your future to look forward to. And that's the sweat of your brow. That's what it is.
And sweat is sexy. Doing something. Sometimes you know, a lot of people do a lot of dreaming about stuff. And dreams are good as long as you do something with them. You know, just like it says in James, you know, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. You know, and that verse always makes me want to go like, oh, okay, because it's true. You know, you show me you like me, we'll do something about it. You know, show me you want to marry me, well then let's start doing, you know, do something, make a step, make some progress. So point number one is vision is hot, sweat is sexy. Point number two
is loving Jesus is super attractive.
It is.
Loving Jesus is super attractive. We had to add the super in there.
Yeah.
Because it's not just attractive, it's super attractive.
It's super attractive. And I know some of these questions, we're going to do some Q&A, but a lot of them revolve around this point. Like, you know, what if the guy I'm dating is falling away from God? Well, loving Jesus is super attractive, and marrying somebody who is not in love with Jesus is super scary. Okay? You know, I have teenagers come and tell me all the time, Pastor Michelle, I got a new boyfriend. I got a new girlfriend. And I say, oh, do they love Jesus more than they love you? And they're like, oh, this is a mission trip, Pastor Michelle. I'm trying to bring them to church, okay? And that's wrong. That is bad. Escape. Go away. Run away. Because they need to love Jesus more than they love you, to be honest.
Because a relationship, I mean, it's a very bonding experience, especially if it goes into the physical realm where you're sleeping together or messing around, doing your thing with them. It's a very, very, very spiritual bonding experience that you end up tying yourself with this person. And, you know, even for some of us who've been there, you know, some of us, you know, you end up having children with people that you don't really, in retrospect, really want in your life for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? So we need to be careful and cautious of those things. You know, I mean, who you decide to marry is one of, if not the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Mm-hmm. It is one of, if not the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, because you're committing and you're looking and searching for the person that will be your partner, your closest friend, your coworker, your co-conspirator in Christ for the rest of your life. I mean, this is the goal, is this to be the longest relationship you will have. I mean, you will have to be with this person, God willing, God designed, in 50 years, and wake up alongside of them and say, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you need to be, I mean, the goal is for you in 50 years to be able to look at this person in their eyes and still see a spark and the flame of love. And I mean, this is important. You don't want to marry a buster. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to marry some punk, some chump. You don't want to marry some weak person, in a sense. You want to marry someone who has their relationship with God down solid. You know, because this is the person that's going to either propel you to success, or they're going to drag you down to failure. And that's not to talk down about anybody, but you know, because you've dated those people before, probably, who have made you feel worse about yourself than people who have made you feel better about yourself. And if you haven't dated somebody who feels better about yourself, you know, then raise your standards. You know, don't settle for second best, because the last thing you want to do is be stuck with someone who is punk.
Lukewarm or mediocre.
Yeah,
exactly.
they have a lax relationship with the Lord. You know, especially ladies. You know, you need to find a man who's going to take control of the situation. That if you're sick, he's a He's going to pray for you. Ladies, you need to find someone who's going to wake up in the morning and to make you, to tell you that you look good. That's going to buy you some flowers. Ladies, you need a man who's going to make you feel like you're a queen. Ladies, you need a man who's going to make you feel like you look like Beyonce at 3 o'clock in the morning wearing your sweats. You ain't got no makeup on. You got your mask on. But he's like, girl, you look fine. That's what you need, ladies. Men and women, you need someone who is going to add value to your life. Because isn't that what love does? Love gives of oneself for the betterment of someone else. And if you ever find somebody that takes value or honor or takes respect or takes life from you, you are in a parasitic relationship with one person feeding off the other. See, love is never give and take. Love is give and give. And if you find someone that takes instead of gives, then you're in a wrong place. You need to find somebody who loves Jesus.
Yeah. And you know, fighting, in a sense, is good for a relationship.
Fighting,
especially
is good
before marriage, because then you kind of see like true colors. Like Richard and I knew each other since we were like 15. So
we've got lots of fights.
We have fought a lot.
I know.
And you're never going to skip that process.
Never.
So maybe you got married really fast and maybe you didn't really know that person. Well, the fighting's going to come, okay? But you need to realize that you guys can overcome it when you make Jesus the center of your relationship. And true love, real love, is the center of that also.
Yeah. So if you're dating someone you haven't fought yet, get in a fight tonight. Do it. Over the ketchup.
Ask them about their past. No, I'm just kidding. No. I don't. I mean, if you haven't talked about it, maybe you should.
For goodness sake. You know, but seriously, get it out of the way. And if they fight dirty,
then you know.
Then you know. Because you get married, you will get in a fight.
Yeah, it's bound to happen.
We got in a couple today.
Probably.
Driving here.
Is there any women who are backseat drivers?
No, everybody, all y'all,
okay,
raise your hands. All y'all raise your hands.
This is how I drive with Richard, like this.
She reached for the steering wheel one time. She reached for the steering wheel one time. I was so mad. I was about ready just to go, you want it? Take it. You can have it. Oh, man.
So fights are going to happen, but make Jesus the center. And I just want to make a real quick point about falling in love with Jesus. Some people, I know some of you have been in this church for a long time, and maybe you haven't found that person, and you're like, the time is ticking, and I am getting scared. And you know what? First of all, let me tell you this. When you find that person, you will be attracted to them physically and also by the Jesus inside of them. And I just want to go here real quick, because I know in the youth ministry, it's a big issue, but homosexuality is a huge thing. And same-sex attraction. Maybe there's people in this room who are struggling with it. And, you know, I don't look down upon you for that. I think that Jesus Christ can save to the uttermost, and that we are here for you as a church and as pastors to pray for you and talk to you about it. And I've had conversations with lots of young adults and teenagers who have said, Pastor Michelle, I am so scared that I'm never going to be attracted to the opposite sex. I am so scared that I am never going to be in a marriage relationship. And they're scared to death of that because they want to follow Jesus, but then they have these feelings and it's very confusing. But I want you to know this. It's not about being straight, or it's not about, you know, being not gay. It's about falling in love with the Jesus inside of that person. And I believe that if you aren't attracted to the opposite gender, that I believe you'll be attracted to the opposite gender through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hope that encourages somebody in this room. You know, the church and the Rock Church is here for you guys. And it's a big issue. I know in the youth ministry. So Pastor Richard and I know Pastor Luke and Stacey and Pastor Joe and Marnie are always here for you guys for prayer if anybody deals with that.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
So and then throw that in there.
Thank you. Thank you, Antonio. Let me know how the score is after service. And I guess, you know, lastly, our last point, as we start to wrap things up, is and this is kind of a funny one, because it's you wouldn't think it, but it says boundaries keep things hot. And it's funny because we live in a society that says, you know, boundaries are restrictive. It says that if you really want to experience, you know, intimacy and these, you know, sexual highs and peaks, is you have to no holds barred, do this. We, you know, this magazine says we have 52 new techniques that will blow his mind, you know. And it's like you're just pushing the envelope further and further and further and further away from what, you know, the norm or whatever it is supposed to be. And it's the exact opposite. You know, it's when we throw off restraint and when we stray from the boundaries God's put on our lives in the Word, that's when things begin to get crazy because all of a sudden, nothing satisfies. Nothing satisfies. You know, when you begin to go into areas that God's called forbidden into your relationships or into your thought life or into whatever it is in your life, all of a sudden, you know, you begin to stoke the fires of your flesh, and the flesh will never be satisfied. No matter what carnal pleasure or no matter what your relation, what this girl or this guy looks like or what, you know, it never satisfies. And all of a sudden, the things that once excited you about a person become dull. And there's nothing that quenches the flames of intimacy and a relationship quicker than removing the boundaries God's placed inside of your lives and your relationships. It's a dangerous place to go. You don't want to touch that. You know, don't touch the boundaries that God's placed. It's not good.
And boundaries have a really bad rep, you know, because a lot of us. I mean, again, I really feel like we've. It's especially this generation and the youth and everything also is that we've become very pop culture. Like whatever they tell us, we just, you know, drink it up. Like, yes, yes, Lady Gaga. That's right. Okay. I mean, if I hear one more song about the club, I'm going to just, you know, blow my mind. Cause every song is about the club and getting slizzard and all this other stuff. And
you know, seriously,
I don't know about you, but I do not want to end up like Kesha. Okay. But here's the deal is we feel like boundaries are like from this God in heaven who looks down on us, says you can't do this and you can't do that and you will not do that. But I think we need to throw off that mindset because boundaries, if you view it like a father who loves his child and wants the best for his child, then it switches all the mindset. You know, some of you, you know, maybe you have a real problem with the Ten Commandments. In the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments. Well, let's just back up into history a little bit. Because here were a group of people who spent hundreds of years in slavery, and they didn't know how to live outside of being slaves. So God gave them Ten Commandments to bring back their dignity and to teach them how to serve God.
It's true.
And see, when God gives us boundaries, it keeps our dignity. You know, if you've ever crossed a boundary, a sexual boundary with somebody, there's guilt. There's guilt, especially if you are saved and born again, there is a guilt, there is a shame, there's a taking advantage of somebody else, whether you think that or not, it is, you know, and there is, you know, a worry. There is a worry about STDs. You know, did you know that 1 in 4 girls who are sexually active have an STD and most of them don't even know it? 1 in 5 actually end up pregnant, whether that ends in abortion or they actually have the baby, I don't know. But you guys, there's serious consequences to crossing boundaries. And boundaries keep things hot because boundaries don't complicate stuff.
It's true.
They keep things going on the right track in a healthy relationship where people have mutual respect for each other.
I don't have to worry about my wife, you know, with other guys. I don't got to worry about, you know, her going in places. I don't have to worry. I mean, and there's such a freedom in that to know that my wife is mine. And I am hers. You know, I mean, the easiest way to keep a relationship simple is to give your spouse 100% of your heart. Because since I've given my wife 100% of my heart, there is nothing left for another woman. There is nothing left for another relationship. There is nothing left for the internet. There is nothing left for, you know, fantasies in my mind. You know, she has my everything. And she doesn't have to worry about me, you know, going off doing anything weird or strange or anything like that. You know, and that's the easiest way to keep things simple is to work within that boundaries. I mean, even within our relationships and in our marriage, you know, I don't have friends who are girls. I just don't. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I want to keep my wife for the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying? And I've determined that this is the most important relationship in my life. So anything that would endanger this relationship is substandard, and it's something that can be put on the back burner. Any type of relationship, any type of opportunity, any type of benefit or success that would come in between this relationship is a substandard reward than the reward I receive through a full life of one wife, with one woman. You know, and that's just the way it is. You know, whether it's with her sisters or her friends, you know, the only time I'm around, you know, women in a friendship, relationship type arena is when we're together. Yeah, you know, that's what it is. I'm not calling up girls on the phone. I'm not, you know, calling up coworkers on the phone. I'm not hitting up my old, you know, girlfriends from on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not. Why would I want to do that when I got this? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And even we have accountability for each other, not because we've ever made rules, but it's just out of respect. Like, if I ever Facebook message, you know, a boy, I will always put him in the thread with it.
Yeah.
He's always, you know, CC'd about
with
it and
stuff. With a teenager,
with older
friend.
We just don't get along with the opposite sex. We don't drive people anywhere because, you know, it's... You know, the devil, he really is a wimp, you know, when you have Jesus Christ inside of you. But it doesn't mean he's not walking around like a roaring lion trying to take you out. Because the last thing he wants is a strong marriage which produces godly children who will rise up and go farther than you ever did.
Right.
And see, I don't know, has anybody ever seen the movie Hurt Locker? You guys ever seen? It's like one of the, it is a pretty good movie. It won a ton of awards. But it's, you know, anyways. But there's this one scene where there's a sniper. And see, many of us, maybe we think, oh, a roaring lion, right? Because that, you know, that's relative to us. But picture the devil like a sniper who's seeking you out the moment you get... there's this one sniper scene where these guys are hiding behind, you know, this big giant rock. And it's one-on-one with the enemy. And the moment that somebody moves outside of that rock, they get hit. And see, the moment you start messing around, you start texting somebody, you start looking at something on the phone...
It's true.
Internet applications. I'm like, these applications embarrass me. I can't even look at these applications
on
the iPhone.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know. I'm like,
no, seriously. For free. That's gonna cost you your soul.
Amen. Okay. But you got to keep those boundaries because it'll keep your relationship hot. You don't want to be in a fight. You know, and all that kind of stuff. It's just awkward in the house. All right. And then also with dating, you know, Richard and I, when we were dating, you know, we were 20 years old and, you know, we just finished internship and he got his own apartment.
I know.
Okay. So he got his own apartment. You know, I go over and hang out. And it was like one of the first years when CSI was, you know, when it like aired, right?
The real
That's
one.
How old we are. We're so
Las
old
Vegas,
now.
Not Miami, the real one.
I know, Horatio. Okay,
oh,
and so anyways, you know, we were all into watching it, right? And our, you know, our boss and our youth pastors, Pastor Eddie and Donna, they were into watching it too. So we were over at his house watching it, right? And we're like, yeah, I remember like the first scenes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, we could say what happened. Well, towards the end of CSI, we don't really know what happened, okay? And
I can tell you what kind of chapstick she was wearing. I can't tell you what the ending was.
And Pastor, he's like, yeah, and then the ending was crazy. We're like, what was the ending? He's like, you don't know the ending? And I was like,
that's as far
as
it went.
I received that, Holy Spirit.
That's as far as it went. Don't worry.
Then the boundary was 10 p.m. Okay? And that's what we did because we knew what we could handle and we couldn't handle after 10 p.m. And that was to save our souls because I guarantee you, we're pastors now, but if we would end up sleeping together, you know, it's no different. There are consequences for everybody in every situation. Okay? You lose opportunities when you don't keep the boundaries.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's just simple boundaries like honoring your wife, honoring your spouse, honoring the person you're with. Because if you don't, I mean, you know, Proverbs 17:19 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter, who airs your dirty laundry, your business in places it doesn't belong, you know, all of a sudden it says separates friends. That's the last thing I desire is a dishonor or to disgrace my wife by saying to my friends, hey, you know, my wife, I'm pissed at my wife because you wouldn't believe what she did the other day.
It's like, statuses, tweets.
I know. You know, it's like we're gonna deal with this on our own, and the issues that we have don't belong out there. They belong to be resolved right here. So I'm not gonna talk smack about her and in the aisles or at work or whatever it is. And then just, you know, last thing I have, I'm done. You know, is you know, we have children. And one of the things I always make it a point for my children to make sure that, you know, my children understand, you know, our relationship is I always tell my kids, you know, besides the fact I say, you know, daddy loves you, I always say, you know, daddy loves mommy. You know, I just the other day, my kid was on my back and I was telling Bella, you know, daddy, I said, you know what? Yeah, I said, you know, Bella, you know who mommy's favorite who daddy's favorite person in the world is mommy. And I said, I love your mommy so much. And I want my children to know that this is a safe relationship. I want them to know. I want my daughter to look for a man who's as good or better than me. And I want my son Did I say that right? My son looked for a woman. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
We get it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I mean. So, that's one of the boundaries I have in my life. One of the standards I have in my life is I want my children to grow up understanding what a healthy relationship is.
And it's the same thing with me. You know, Bella will ask, "Where's Daddy?" And I say, "Well, Daddy's at work. You know, Daddy works really hard because he wants us to have nice things and he wants us to have what we need. And it's good to do that. You know, my dad worked so many hours my whole life, and I could have grown up and said, "I never have a dad. He was always at work." Da, 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 da. But I never had that attitude because my mom never portrayed that attitude.
That's good.
I never even felt like my dad was missing, even though he probably worked 6-7 days a week. It wasn't until I was in my 20s when I realized, God, my dad was working all the time. But my mom was the one who never let that sign. See, sometimes we can say to our kids in a frustrating moment, "Dad's gone, he's never here, I'm always alone changing your diapers." Okay, I don't know, whatever it is.
Them
but
diapers.
We need to remember, there's a lot of diapers with babies. And then also too with the, you know, with marriage, if we could just, you know, talk about sex to the married people. Ooh. You know, and we're talking about boundaries here. And it says in, I know I just got a bunch of married people's attention. It says in Hebrews 13:4, it says, "Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled." Okay. And you know what? I want to talk about this because I know some people have asked these questions. You know, marriage is between a husband and a wife and nobody else.
That's right.
Whether that's the internet, whether that's videos, whether that, and I am not for all those Cosmo magazines. In fact, somehow I got subscribed to one, and it came to our house, and Richard got subscribed to a motorcycle magazine.
I don't even like motorcycles.
We don't even ride.
I'm like, seriously, I'll send it to you, Elijah. But no, I won't, because then pictures.
But,
I'm like,
you know, and we stopped it because it's like, that's ridiculous. Now, I'm married, and I can read what I want, but I don't want something to separate me and my husband in bed, okay? And I just want to, you know, throw that out there in case anybody had any questions about that. But
yeah,
so that's it. That's a good love story.
You think so, babe?
If you guys got something out of that, give the Lord a great big hand clap.
So, you want me to do that? Do we need to answer any of these questions?
Should we do questions now?
Yeah. Why? Okay. Yeah. There's a couple questions here. I guess we could do, and then they said 8:30. So. We're trying to be good at time. You got two preachers here. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, man.
You're asking for trouble. It says, if your partner refuses to move forward with Christ, do you leave them?
In the words of Snoop Dogg, better drop it like it's hot. Okay? No, I think, and you know, I say that lightheartedly, but I bet you love this person with all of your heart, and you've got to think about your future. And I was talking about, you know, dating, you know, as a mission, you know, mission trip, like, you know, if I kiss you, will you come to church and da da da. You know what? I really believe you've got to think about your future, and you do not want to be dragging somebody to church all the time, because eventually they're just going to stop going. And eventually that part of your relationship is going to be unfulfilled. And eventually maybe you'll stop going to church. You just got to think about that stuff. You want somebody who's on fire for God, who pushes you.
Yeah.
Who pushes you and will get in your face.
Now, if you're married, and this is a question about marriage, then, I mean, the Bible says that, you know, you win your spouse over through loving Jesus. You win your spouse over, not through nagging them, not through preaching to them, but you win them over through your passion for the Lord. And if that's the case, I don't think it's grounds for divorce if a person is falling away from the Lord, because that's a commitment you made. You know, and that's a commitment. Then that's a commitment. You know, you stick in with that, and you continue to love God with all your heart and passion. You begin to pray for them in the middle of the night. You know, in the wee hours in the morning, and you know, you believe God to restore the relationship with them.
Okay, this one is good. What are some important questions to ask your date other than if they are born again?
If you have to ask them if they're born again, you probably should not be dating them. Just saying. I mean, if you don't know, if you can't tell.
That's a heavy question, right? Like, you know, like, I mean, that's just weird. Like, if you were to die tonight, do you think you'd go to heaven? If you were, did you know that nowhere in the Bible it said? But, let's talk about dating for a second. Okay, I know there's a really popular book, you know, that was like 10 years ago, like I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Okay, I mean, I think that's good for some people, but for a lot of people, that's like, I guess that book to me is saying that the only person I will date will be my wife or my husband. And that's really high expectations. Okay? And I think maybe we need to be a little bit realistic about dating people and getting to know them to find out who they are, what they like. Are they super attractive into Jesus? Are they, you know, working hard? Do they have a vision? Do they? And how do we get to do that except by dating them and getting to know them and talking on the phone or group dates or something like that?
You know, and I think probably the best answer to this is if you develop a friendship and a relationship and on that level with someone, then the questions will answer themselves. You know, I mean, if you were spending time with them, if you are developing an emotional relationship before a physical relationship, you know what I'm saying? Before you guys are solid, steady, you know, you're just clanked down to this one. You know, then a lot of the questions you have will answer themselves, especially if you serve alongside them in ministry, especially if you are getting to know them. I mean, you're finding out what their vision and passion and dreams and job and all these kind of things are. You know, and that's what happens in a relationship. That's what happens in a friendship. You build the friendship first, you have that friendship for the rest of your life. If you build the physical part first, then you have a hard time building that friendship. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. And then
People should go on more dates. I see more and more guys, you know, sorry guys to pick on you, who are so scared to take a risk to ask a girl on a date. And you don't even, what if that is your wife? Like, life is but a vapor. Like, just ask her out. I know rejection is awful, but, and girls, we got to be nice. Like, we have to show we're interested. Like,
let a man be interested in you, okay?
Yeah, I just think.
Sometimes the reason you have not been caught is because you are just running too fast. All right. Give a brother a chance. Yeah. Let him take you to Applebee's. All right? This is what it is. And yeah, and guys, come on. Be a man. If she's fly, let her know.
Your girl, words are so 90s, honey. It's so cute.
Hun, this is where I'm from.
The 90s
okay?
are back.
This is where I'm from. You should listen to Nirvana, okay?
Nirvana.
I did.
Thank you. Okay. How do you deal with a boyfriend who's slowly pulling away from God?
You know,
I'm praying and keeping in faith, but slowly I'm getting discouraged.
If he is a boyfriend and he is pulling away from God now, get out before you're committed and you are, you know, I mean.
I think you just need to draw the line and tell him where you're at. Seriously. This is where I'm at.
Just let him know. Look, it's like, look, I'm looking for a man who's going to lead this relationship spiritually and you're not. So you have two choices. You know, get on your game. I'm going to find another game to play. You know what I'm saying? So.
You have good liners, honey. You need to write a book.
I should. Then maybe you'll let me have a dog.
No dogs.
Burn.
He wants a pug.
Burn. Because they're cute. A pug or a Boston Terrier. Come on. Don't tell me. Thank you. And if you have one, no, I don't want yours. Okay.
Now, next week, Pastor Henny and Pastor Eleanor are going to be answering your questions, so make sure you give them good ones.
We take more questions, but we talk too long.
I know.
It's a problem we have. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay.
Okay. Thank you. Then we'll talk longer. Now, thank you. Wow. I feel like encore. No. Stop. I'm trying to respect your pastors here. Okay. We're going to wrap this thing up.